Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
You're listening.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Okay, so Todd, when I told you...
What do you mean by hub?
Hub. I don't want to talk about that. Hey, so when I...
like the hub of the wheel?
The hub with its spokes. Yeah. Remember when we were... Remember on a whiteboard when we were like, okay, we got to start a ministry to resource church planting, multi-site, and multiplication.
Yeah.
And we need to figure out what to call this thing. And we had a whole whiteboard full of all these different names.
Yeah.
Church hub, church multiply, this, that, and the other. And I think that's where the word hub first originated from.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, okay. So, but what I wanted to talk about was today in our question, we're going to be talking about how to reach first responders in your community. So when I told you that before our podcast started,
yeah,
and you were like, huh, I totally thought that your interruption was going to be something like, woo, or something like that. And you know why? Because on the podcast I do with my wife, the in-between one, every time I say, hey, I do the intro as well, and she quote unquote interrupts me too. But it's funny because every time I say, hey, you're listening to episode something of the In-Between podcast, she'll always say something that kind of foreshadows what we're about to talk about.
Okay.
So my brain was like, Todd is totally going to go siren. But you didn't.
No.
You went the predictable route of interrupting, of...
Kind of. I try to make my... interruptions unique and special each time. You
but,
never know.
But it isn't.
And then sometimes it isn't unique or it isn't special.
It's or predictable.
Both. Why is it predictable? I interrupt with different things different times.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes I go, new churches.
Yeah.
Which is a throwback to when I actually watched television in college when you had The Real World.
Mm.
It's a true story.
I don't know what that is. Was that like an MTV thing or something?
Five. Huh? You're MTV not, was a thing. It was called not, music television, Daniel.
You're not that
it's still
old
on,
than
but
me.
They don't do music anymore. It's crazy.
So MTV's still going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's from my understanding. I don't really
watch
the TV, but
the tubes. All right. Let's listen into the question.
Hey guys, this is James Hawaiian. I pastor a church in Vernon, Alabama. I was just curious if you had any recommendations on how to reach the first responders in your community effectively. Thanks so much. Enjoy the podcast.
All right. So how to reach the first responders in your community?
Donuts. No.
Are you saying that because cops and donuts?
No,
and
Daniel.
The Simpsons.
Because
and
everybody
all that.
Loves donuts. Here's the thing.
Everybody does love donuts.
What I found was really helpful is, yes, you know, thank the first responders on 9/11 mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But it is randomized acts of kindness that may be more, they're planned, but they seem random. So I'm going to say, hey, the fire station down the road from our church, I'm going to stop by there 3 or 4 times this year, and I am going to take them
as the pastor.
Krispy Kreme. Yeah, as just the pastor, and just, hey, thank you for what you do.
And bring your leaders with you when you do this. It's a great way to
bring somebody with you. Yeah. So they can see what you're doing and how you're doing it, and you can break down. You could bring a different staff person each time, and especially younger staff, and break down, okay, this is why I'm doing this, and then let's process it afterward. It's that really that – knowledge, experience, coaching piece that you know we talk about as part of grid and stuff all the time. But doing that from time to time is super beneficial, and it's not at a time of year where they might expect something. So they might expect something around Thanksgiving or Christmas or 9/11 or July 4th.
Yeah.
But you say, you know what? I'm going to make them – other people are going to make them feel special on those days. I'm going to show up on days that they don't expect and, you know, kind of surprise and delight those people.
Yeah, I mean, other days would be if they're in your local news, something big happened that you knew they were at.
And just, to appreciate hey, man, them. I saw what you all did, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago. Not in the heat of the moment, but, and maybe in the heat of the moment, if there is some issue that your church can address, absolutely do that. But just being there. The other thing I would say is, if they are, if you want to declare a Sunday as a day that you're going to highlight their service, again, not in a typical time of year, but a special thing that calls that out. A lot of you will have people that are serving in your church. A lot of people will hire off-duty officers. Just taking good care of them in a hospitable manner, that they're not the hired help or they're not contractors. Recognizing that they may use a little rougher language even on the church campus sometimes. I'm not putting people in a box. I'm just saying I've
donuts, bad language.
No.
Todd, come on, man.
No. There's a guy I'm working on right now at our church. And I mean, I just have to know that, you know, if I have a conversation with him and he gets excited, he may drop something.
Okay.
So, and I'm fine with that.
No, this is good. I'm curious, though. Why July 4th?
Why July 4th?
Yeah. What does that have to do with first responders?
A lot of times people will do that. I think in connection with patriotism, when you had 9/11, there was a patriotism there that goes along with that day.
Okay.
With flags and first responders, and
I never would have thought of that.
No, but I'm telling you, it is more it is totally tied to the military and veterans and independence and, you know, our Independence Day. But at the same time, since 9/11, you'll see more people get involved now first responders are usually what we think about in connection with 9/11, but anyway.
Yeah, okay. So what do you think about a first responder small group or an affinity group for them? Do you think that's something that would be helpful? You know, or I mean, because I know totally. A pastor friend who his friend started a cop church.
Well, okay. So you also have the idea of just like, you know, a lot of major sports teams will have a chaplain.
Yeah.
You know, it's saying, hey, you know, you might expect a really big municipality to have a chaplain for their police force. You're not going to expect that in a more rural area or a smaller town. But even offering to do that, and it's like, hey, once a month I'm coming, our church is going to provide you, like, I'm coming with food. And, you know, two little old ladies that will love you in an amazing way and serve you and are just glad to be here. I mean, there's things like that that you could do for your church that make it super personal. And when that person, it's just like when I've talked about the Chamber of Commerce before.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, this buys me the relational capital that if I see something I need to address with you, I can probably do that over the course of a year. Or if you have some issue that happens in your marriage or your father passes away or there's some big issue life moment that happens in your life, you might be finally open to the gospel or you might be open to a conversation and you're probably going to turn to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it's a great thing for pastors to be able to do. Those are some of the things I would think about.
So I fully agree on the going. And I think you've given a lot of good examples about going and ministering. And especially with everything that we do with Leadership Pipeline and with Ministry Grid and with coaching church leaders, bring someone along with you, right? Definitely do it. Don't just do it yourself. However, when it comes to the first responders that are already a part of your church.
Okay, I see where you're going. That's good.
Right? Is there a need for a small group for first responders? Because I don't know about you, but the police officers or former police officers that I know just don't, and it's more, I know more of those than firemen and others, they just don't seem to be that open. I mean, and sometimes their schedule doesn't allow them to. And oftentimes we've had it where the spouse, the wife would be in our group because the husband was a police officer and he couldn't really ever come. He came occasionally, but it was really hard for him to come. And when he did come, he just didn't open up. He just didn't talk. So do you think because of the nature of what they do, it would be helpful to offer a small group for first responders? Or do you think people just, they wouldn't even come to it?
Man, I don't know. I think it's easier. Okay, so part of this might be identifying a first responder that is a strong believer in your church
and
really
working with them to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So modeling some of
good.
The way for them, and then to say, hey, you're going to be able to go places I won't because I haven't been a cop or I haven't been a firefighter. And they've been part of the reason maybe, you know, why they might seem distant or not connecting as much is because they've seen a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that really understand some of that stuff is other people have seen some of that stuff too.
You're right.
And so, you know, having a person who still has a strong belief in God and an understanding of scripture and maturity that has also experienced with that stuff, they can deal with some of the complexities that might come, you know, from saying, okay, well, how do I reconcile all of this?
Yeah.
And so I think that would be an amazing thing to do is to say, hey, you know, I'm going to do some of these things personally, but in addition to that, I'm going to try to raise up, you know, identify a believer that is mature, or maybe they're not mature yet, but I'm going to work with them.
And that's great.
And even tell them, hey, like, man, engage and involve them in the conversation. Because most of us will have, you know, one or two or more that already attend our church.
Yeah.
So let's
I love that. I love that. And, you know, the really cool thing about that is, and I love how you brought up the whole point of engaging them, right? Even when it comes to visiting the firehouse or the police station or, you know, or EMTs or whoever, when it comes to visiting them, have the first responder lead the way, right? And maybe, and here's the other thing. I mean, God is in the business of restoring and redeeming and making beauty out of the ashes. And there are some first responders who may have retired or who are still in, and it's hard for them. They're discouraged, and it's hard for them to see why God has called them to do it or how this could be used by God within the church context or to help other believers. And for you to disciple them to see that God wants to, you know, that God has placed them in those positions of influence and had the experience that they have had so that he could ultimately be glorified, and to be able to use that as a starting point to disciple them in that and then teach them how to be on mission with God would be huge, especially if they're leading it and you're coming alongside with them. I mean, there's going to be so much ownership in that.
So the last thing I would say is I've been in a couple of different contexts. I've been in contexts where in areas that were like church is part of everyday life and what you do in the South. And then in DC where it's like, oh, we're actually antagonistic toward the church. There's been some situations where there would be a leader in one of those organizations that, you know, hey, the chief of the fire chief may actually be a strong believer, but he can't do some of the stuff that he would want to do as a strong believer because he would lose his job or just the politics of the situation.
Yeah.
In that regard, there's also an opportunity for you to come in and be that voice, because of course you're going to say something, but you can be invited in by him and work in partnership with him and still allow him to keep his role.
Yeah.
I just had that last thought because that's a real situation.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Hey, if you haven't yet texted the word new churches, that's one word, to the phone number 888-111, so 888-111, be sure to do that. If you do that, we'll send you a link to download free 5 free ebooks and reports on planting, multiplication. So this is going to be great for great reads, and especially, you know, on spring break, if you're coming up to spring break wherever you live, or even if you're traveling or want to take your team through an intentional process to think through multiplication, what that looks like in your context and community. So all you got to do is text the word new churches, that's one word, to the phone number 888-111. All right. And the last thing is, Todd and I, as much as we love being on the New Churches Q&A podcast, we're also on another podcast, the 5 Leadership Questions one. And recently we've interviewed leaders like Albert Tate, Paul Tripp, Rosaria Butterfield, and the list just goes on and on and on. So look up 5 Leadership Questions on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.